Okay. So,
All right. Basically, we pretty much finished with what we're going to discuss about Antler. Just to sum up, we I said I would speak for like 1 minute about just what some of the poskim say in Shulchan Aruch. So what we've seen in Antler is that there seems to be a major debate about the question of a representation and the degree to which the Baal Davar has to represent himself. We discussed it on three levels in terms of a conducive climate for even, you know, greater, you know, encouragement, let's say, of telling the truth, the ha'aza issue, we can call it, both for accuracy and for sheker. I think they're two different points. Nobody knows the story better than the Baal Davar himself. When you go to another level, clearly you are, you know, risking something in terms of the in terms of the precision. That's the way some Rishonim formulate it, and others just, you know, more specifically, again, from the Rashba on, in terms of specifically the problem of Ha'aza. That's not about precision, it's or an accidental falsehood or an incomplete story. That's really about like a safeguard, a psychological safeguard, if you will. And the question is, how necessary is that? And regarding that, you know, if they're, especially since a lot of the default positions are that this is a problem for Nitva much more than for Toveya, so then you get into the whole discussion in the poskim about Ha'aza for a Toveya as opposed to Ha'aza for a Nitva. Again, the three deos that I already mentioned in the Drisha and the Sma, part of it is in the Bach, already, etc. But that's one level of this whole discussion. The second level being one of shlichos, and again the distinction possibly between the toveya and the nitva. The idea that you know, for somebody to represent you formally, legally, right, he has to be a proper extension of you. He has to really you have to be able to give him something, some jurisdiction, some control. Is being towing on your behalf or collecting on your behalf. Enough is being a nitva on your behalf, where there's no actual nothing to hand over or collect. Enough. So this is a question about shlichus. It's also a question about harsha'a. And then you have an interesting discussion, which I quoted the other day as well, in the poskim in the tour. Again, the Bach and others is, you know, is the problem of la bal dvorim didiat, and therefore the need for a Mursha greater for Toveya or greater for Nitva. Greater for Toveya because he is more ambitious and he's doing more, and therefore you might, as a Nitva, want to protect yourself more. Say, I'm only dealing with the real Baal Davar. More of a possibility because, you know, there is something to assign to him, Zil Don Zechi, which we'll talk about when we get to Harsha. And that's essentially, again, what the Bach goes through. I think we read that as well. So that's the second issue. And as far as that is concerned, it's also just interesting historically and halachically when this discussion took place. Is it about shlichus? Is it about shliach be'edim? Or is it really about a mursha? But again, that concerns me less at the moment than the bigger question, and that is, you know, the possibility of some sort of quasi-independent representation per se. And then the third issue is the issue of the Amdushnei Anashim Bedin, which we also find, and especially in the Ritva, and that I think is the key to what we've been discussing, the role, the idea that the Baal Davar has a more formal role. You know, his fate is decided, he's not just the hechatimtzi of the case, but he is, you know, a factor in a player, in other words, in this entire formal process as well. And then what we saw was that there's a whole range of actual shitos, that those were very liberal about all this, the balitosis and the ritva and the ra'ah, in terms of allowing this kind of representation even for a nitva. And there are those, the Rigash and the Rambam and the Rif and the Ramban and the Rajba, there's mixed evidence back and forth, who are very limiting and who think that there really, you know, is very little possibility of a real representative who is quasi-independent. Then the question is, what about a sofer bezdin or a shliach bezdin, you know, who play a house call and collect edus? What about that? That too is subject to debate. But there's much more openness in terms of kol kvuda bas melech pnima for most rishonim, for talmid chacham according to the Ramban as well. According to the Ramban, basically there are, you know, there are two levels. There's an antler, which is permissible for a kohen gadol because of the kidashto, and somehow it's considered a p'chisas hakavod to collect testimony from the kohen gadol even in his home. You know, but for him to to send a representative, I guess, is the only way, you know, for a kohen gadol to be heard. Mashein came the sofer bezin. And again, the Ritva challenges that by simply saying, I don't understand what's priest's hakavod of a kohen gadol, you know, receiving a house call from a shliach bezdin. But again, a very interesting discussion. And then part of that discussion is that most Rishonim think that kol kvuda bas melech pnima is a factor that justifies shliach bezdin. Some deny even that, right? Some deos in the Ritva, the Meiri, think that the sugya is simply a d'chuya b'yalma, or that the sugya is talking about a case where everybody agrees and waive their rights, but there is no right even for that. And then you have the other extreme, which is the tshuva of the Ritva, and one of the tshuvas of the Rajba, which say that actually we equate kol kvuda bas melech pnima even with the vikidashto of the kohen gadol, and it would even warrant antler under those conditions. Then the other question to discuss is, what is the relationship between antler to meturgamon, and what is its relationship to mipiksavam? And again, meturgamon gets integrated into the discussion by some of the Chachmei Svarim already, but, you know, not as meturgamon per se, but just as, again, the sheker issue, hearing it directly, hearing it, you know, with one level in between. But again, the real action comes with the Ra'ah and the Ritva, who really think, again, to connect the Sugya and Makos, where there's a debate whether there's a Meturgamon problem only in Edim or even in Balidinim. Certainly the Makar of the problem is Edim. So again, the connection, the identification of Dine Edim with Dine Balidavar is important issue. Again, in Va'amdushtan Nashim B'din, which our Gemara says refers to both, you already have something of that, but it's a much, much bigger chiddush to say that a din that applies to Edim based on the psukim that are exclusive to Edus, al pishnayim Edim, or mipi Edim, mipiem v'lom piksavam, mipiem v'lom piturgamon, that's not the same pasuk. To assume that what applies there applies to Bali Dvarim is not obvious at all. It's certainly a debate in the Rishonim, as the Ritva notes. Agav, there's also this interesting question about, you know, what the Rambam, you know, does or doesn't hold about this, because the Rambam definitely says that Meturgamon is excluded. Is Meturgamon relevant to the question of Antler, right? So the Beis Yosef and others say that the answer is yes, and they derive from here that the Rambam, you know, takes a strong stand, and that would work well with the Tshuva of the Rambam. Whereas the Ritva says the Rambam doesn't talk about it at all. He understands that, you know, Meturgamon is a different issue. Either way, the Ritva himself connects Meturgamon and connects Mipiksavam, which is really fascinating. Also has the Chiddush that in Bezdin itself, Mipiksavam is not a problem. We discussed several ways to explain that. That's Mechudash. It's not agreed upon by everyone at all. What will he say about Meturgamon in Bezdin, right? That's, I guess, part of an open question. But either way, this is what emerges from the discussion. The Poskim, just one second, who say that the Rambam's view on Meturgamon is irrelevant to his view on Antlar. As I mentioned, the Beis Yosef, I'm sorry, the Bach, and the really dark emotion of the Bach, and so on, they're the ones who make the comment. Let me just read that into the record, because I think we read the other ones already. They're the ones who read into the record. They're the ones who, I'm sorry, take the view that there's a difference between the opposite, you know, direction of the Ritva about Mipiem Velom Piksavam, and that is the difference between in Bezdin and out of the Bezdin, in the sense that in Bezdin you can't have a Meturgamon, but outside of Bezdin you might be able to have a representative. So let me just find that line very quickly. This is the Beis Yosef. According to this reading, there's no difference between a Toveya and a Nitva. That would be important as well. Because of Mipi and Mipi Maturgaman. That is the Beis Yosef here in Simon Kuf Chaf Dalid. And the Darkei Moshe and the Bach. I disagree. Hopefully I have that line here. One second. V'nir be'enai dafa kishelo ba hanitva lebezdin sfir leilhaima and damar matzah shav yishliach be'edim avuk shanitva ba be'atzma lebezdin lo matzah the shav yishliach ledivere akol udikavasei b'toveya. The divrei hakol matzah the shav yishluach hainu dafka ilo boi lemesi lebezdin avuk shabo lifnei bezdin bein b'toveya bein b'nitva ledivere hakol lo matzah leshav yishliach. V'zeu shakasav harambam, I'm reading from the Bach here in Simon Kuf Chaf Dalid, Zeu Shekasav Rambam Beperek Chaf Aleph Lo Yia Hadayin Shomea Mipi Hamaturgamon. Vahainu Kishat Toveya V'Hanitva Bo Lifnei Bezdin V'Hemidu Melitz Beinosam Zeu Oser Bein B'Toveya Bein B'Nitva L'Divrei Akol V'Lo Iflegu Ela Kishalo Bo Heimatzum Lifnei Bezdin. Right? V'Lo Kamo Shekasav HaBeis Yosef So this, of course, is he is taking, basically, he's accepting the Ritva's distinction with regard to ksav yad or ksavam. In other words, that will work when you hand it over. Right? Either because, again, the words are, these are my, if you want to say like Ellie, these are my, this is my testimony, is the testimony. Okay? Or because that's then considered to be not something which is disembodied and disconnected from him, but when he hands it over, so the ksav is his dibor. It doesn't make a difference for our purposes right now, but when it comes to Maturgamon, the Bach thinks that the opposite is true, and some of the other poskim think that there's no reason to make that distinction. And if anything, then you would think that the presence of the Maturgamon with the Balei Dvarim inside Bezdin is something which is better, not worse, which is why they think that according to the Rambam, that his comment about Maturgamon for a Baldavar is the equivalent of a comment about Antler. Okay, so that is that's pretty much the range of what we saw when it comes to that issue. Yeah.
I think the Rambam does address the Antler issue explicitly and of course Shulf and Eric Gimel Vav.
You want to say in Gimel Vav?
So basically that's what we've been saying here. Where were
you? Shulf and Gimel Vav.
Tovei HaVeiro B'Dinu V'Tal Zel B'Mahal Shedifki That's Lo Proper Bo Eino Yachol V'Tasim Har Shal Vav Shedifki Zek V'Shakra Shuomer Lo.
He's making the distinction. He's talking about the real din of Harsha, and he's saying that Harsha doesn't apply to a Tviya, Harsha applies to Gviya. Right? That's the regular din of the Rambam in Harsha. Oh, you say, but Agav there, he distinguishes, he dismisses Tviya? I don't remember the language. Again, one more time, slowly. Oh, it's on the bottom here. Atoveya chaver bedin, okay, from the top of the most, sheifkid, the kafar, and you have a lift of heart. That's ein kosvin, this isn't Tviya bebezdin necessarily, but the top of the kafri, that's a sugya in Bava Kama, daf ayin, which we'll discuss in connection with Lamed Gimel. Shenim says Zekim Meshaker Sheomer Sheisicha Lito Mashiyesh Li Biad Ploni. One second. B'chem Shem Eskayv Lo Chamei Shmua Eni Ochal Harshos Aker Olav Lahashbiyo. Shein Shame Davar sheyiknamal. In one second, in the marsha al tvias dvarim, shein advarim niknim el al tvias mor. Most of the first part of the Rambam, I'm familiar with this Rambam. This is the first part. We'll discuss it. The first part of the Rambam is talking about sending him. Not, it doesn't mean tvia bebezin. It's a tobeo kavero, right? He can't make a morsha to collect if it's metalton de kafre. So we'll talk about that. The point that you can't make a morsha to be nishba is based again on the Yerushalmi. Ein adam marsha al tvias dvarim, but can you be marsha on the tvia in bezin? It sounds like not. But it's not as explained. I'm just saying the Rambam there is addressing a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin and probably the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. So I'm just not 100% sure that that, but it more is likely.
I think the Rambam indicates it's okay to have an Akbar.
Why?
They said it doesn't work for a Shvua in the Marshal Fiat Varim, i.e. the Shvua.
Yeah, so is that an example?
Right,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he means.
Would allow for an Akbar.
I'm not sure what. You know, where he's drawing the line of that. But well, let's hold off on that until we get to the Sug of Harsha. I'm not sure about that one way or another. But yeah. Say again?
Why would Adler be more of an issue for a Nitzvah than a Tobeya?
It's more, meaning more of a problem or more
problem,
of a...
Right. Rebbe said no. Even for a Nitzvah.
No. I said that the Rishonim here say that appointing an antler for a Tobeya is generally assumed to be okay,
right,
unless you think it's a Maturgaman problem, in which case it should be a problem of Toveya as well.
Okay.
Appointing an antler for a Nitva is much more controversial.
Why? Yeah,
that's what we discussed the other day, because since he's basically defending and he's not really acquiring the ability to collect, so you could say there's no Chalos Harsha because he can't turn into anything that is more of a... Okay. I'll get back to this. We'll get back to this when we get to Harsha more fully. But yeah, quickly. You mean why is the Bach saying that? In I guess the idea is that, you know, we could say it in various different ways. Basically, say what Eli said, which is when a guy hands over, you know, the ksav and he says this is my thing, that is his edus, maybe. Or just that, you know, a maturgaman is always an intervening layer. And, you know, the intervening layer is even more annoying when it's not necessary because the guy himself is there. So then we look at Dafka as he's not being Medaber.
He doesn't know what he's saying. He has to go to the
Yeah, but when it comes to the Ksav, the point is that he, instead of he wants to save his voice. So he's writing it out. Yeah, quickly though, yeah.
We were trying to say that maybe there's a tzad that the Maturgaman works in Bezdin if the Baal Yinim are there. Isn't that clearly against the Gemara and Makos?
No, because the Gemara and Makos, we don't know if the Gemara and Makos is speaking about Baal Davar or it's speaking about Eden.
But on the assumption that it's talking about Baal Yidvarim.
If it's talking about Baal Yidvarim, then it's in Bezdin. But I'm saying there's a whole group of Rishonim. Say again?
And there's clearly a psul even in Bezdin.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm just saying there could be, in theory, you could have Rishonim who will say that the Gemara in Makos is talking only about Eidim, and if you were to appoint somebody in Bezdin for Baal Davar, that would be fine to be his spokesman inside,
right.
just not outside.
And it's not to get their antler anymore. It's not to get their Maturgaman anymore. It's
already okay, right, no, I don't care about Maturgaman. I'm only speaking, the reason I'm speaking about this is because the Beis Yosef and others, right, identify Maturgaman, or earlier, I mean, even the Ramban mentioned Maturgaman. It doesn't matter to me, I mean, part of, if, it's a matter of semantics if we say that the distinction is that one's called Maturgaman and the other is called an Antler. I'm only speaking about them together because there's a large group of people who think that they are one and the same. And what I was trying to say was, Misvara, just as there is an issue about Mipiksavam, whether it's better to be in Bezdin or better to be Chutz LeBezdin, so too, in theory, right, it's not difficult to explain both shitos that a maturgaman could be better or worse. Now, if you want to say, well, then he's not called a maturgaman. I don't care. That's fine.
I don't
I just mean a mouthpiece, a spokesman.
I don't think any of the Rishonim weren't equating him with Torgamon with the Antlar. They're just saying that the basis for the Psul Antlar is the
Psul. I don't think that that's the case.
There's clearly a translator for...
I'm saying, look at the different... Maybe some are saying that. Most are not saying that. I think many of the ones are assuming that the Rambam... by his comments on the Torgamon is taking, are assuming that it's high, it's, you know, it's Hab HaTalia for sure, but I think it's even high Nuhach. Okay? But that's already a semantical question more than anything else. I totally agree. If you interpret the Gemara in Makos and Abzayim like the Ramah did, and like the Rambam did, that the din of Mipi and Velom Mipi Torgamon applies not only to Edim, but also to Balei Dinim, that is certainly true in Bezdin. 100%. I'm just saying, and if you don't, you still might say that you can have a Meturgamon in Bezdin, even though you can't have one outside Bezdin. And the paradigm would be, you know, just like what the Ritva is saying about Ksav. That's all. Whatever you call it, doesn't matter what you call it to me right now. It just matters a mouthpiece. Some people thought that Meturgamon is a mouthpiece. Some people thought it's a totally different idea. It's a translator. Right? It depends on your point of view, especially if you're in court, right? You could say, well, the guy's here, so it's just he speaks fluent Greek and the other guy doesn't. So I'd say it ends up the same. It ends up the same. Roughly the same. Yeah.
Regarding the distinction between Ksav and Torgamon, it seems that there's like a sort of like a loophole, meaning if a person wants to use the Torgamon, he can just have the Torgamon write down whatever he wants, give it to him, he can give it to the Baldin, the Baldin gives the Ksav to the Basin, and that would be perfectly fine.
No, I mean, a Torgamon and a Ksav is still different. I mean
like...
Ksav, what I'm trying to just point out is that in Misvara, you could be Michalik in either direction. In other words, if I asked you which is better, we'll say we all agree that the default case is a person coming to court and verbally communicating his thing. That's the best. I think we all agree. Now there are two scenarios, right? That are a dilution of that. One is his written deposition, we'll call it, right? And the other one is a spokesman on his behalf. If you ask me logically, like which one of these should be more effective, or are they the same, I could make the case, in either direction. They're different. They're different media, right? My personal written, record is personal. On the other hand, it's not verbal, it's a ksav. And on the other hand, my spokesman is verbal, but it's not me. So if you ask me which is better, which is worse, I probably would say to you, they're different. The thing about the Ritva that's so interesting is that he equates them, not because he didn't know that they were different, but because he felt it's the same common denominator issue. And then we have another interesting little permutation of all this, and that is, if there's going to be a distinction between inside Bezdin, in other words, when the guy is there with him, and when the guy is not with him, which the Ritva addresses regarding Ksav. The Ritva, as far as I know, is the only Rishon who brought this up regarding Ksav and took the position that he did. So what are you going to say about the same, kind of an issue with Meturgamon? So you could have thought it's the same, and you could say that, that Yesh L'chalek in either direction. That's all we're pointing out. I'm just saying that according to the Rambam, if you think... that Meturgamon is a Baldavar, that according to the Rambam, that Meturgamon applies to Baldavar, does that commit him? You say, oh, you can't even have with you in Bezdin, therefore Kol Shekein you can't have when you're not in Bezdin? I'm just raising that question. The answer is, I'm not sure. Because this is a point of being Mechalek. Basically, the Bach is saying, I see in, together, as a bigger problem in the Meturgamon and a smaller problem, or not a problem, in Ksav. Now, it doesn't mention the Ritva, but it's based on the Ritva, clearly. In theory, you could say they're equal, or you could say they're different. Now, you're asking, oh, but, Lemaisa, you can always write down your thing. I mean, so you could, or you could. If you did, then you would. Well, you wouldn't need the Meturgamon then, right?
Whatever Kisronos exist by a Meturgamon that don't exist by Ksav, Ksav is more personal than Meturgamon. The issue with
Meturgamon is verbal.
It's, you know, Meturgan is better because it's verbal, but it's worse because it's less personal. So what happens when Meturgan is writing a Sav?
Maybe you're Kereach Mikan or Mikan. I'm not sure.
Why is it better than it's verbal?
Right? I'm not sure. Because verbal is more flexible, obviously, and it's more, you know, there's an intonation, and there are many reasons why being verbal is better. But I don't want to get into that now, right? That's not for now. Okay. I don't want to stay on this topic. It's a very nice and interesting topic. I like it. Apparently, you all like it too. That's good. But we want to move on to the next topic. So just to, again, the sum of the essence of it is that there's a range of different views and different chilukim, different types of shlichim, relationship to different kinds of other issues. Just one second. Right. And again, the question of Tovea and Nitva, whether they're the same, equal, one is better than the other. The relationship of Kokvuda, Kotam, Chacham, Kod, Koin, God, these are the things to walk away from the Sugya. So now let's move to the next part of the Sugya, because closely related to the question of posture, formality, presence, and so on is also the question of Amida and Yeshiva. And as I said yesterday, we have essentially in our Gemara, we have three different examples of this, right? What are the three, Ezra? In our Shakla Vitaria, well, pretty much, right? Yeah, you know, you could just read it in, actually. What are the three, though, before we actually start reading it? Just what are the three? If you were saying halachically, if you're just, before we get to the actual evidence, which we're going to discuss now, but let's say we're discussing the din, very succinctly. I gave you, like, a few words to say what the topic is. So one topic is... I mean, that the first topic? That's the second topic, right? But you're right. Amida for Edim, that's the second topic. Amida for Baledinim, that's the first topic. And Yeshiva for Dayanim. So this is the question, right? What is the proper stance, posture, whatever you want to call it, of Baledinim, Edim, and Dayanim? Now, in theory, Ezra, what do you think? I mean, are these all the same issue or not? What?
Maybe they'd be a bit different.
They might be different. The truth is, it's amazing how many of the Rishonim and the Poskim just assume that whatever you're going to say about one, you're going to say about the other. Meaning, in the bigger questions which we're going to deal with, which are, regarding which questions would you say? You're 100% right. Everything you said so far is correct. We're going to read it in a second. I'm just trying to anticipate so we can read it quicker. I'm an investor. In this, not in other things. But yeah.
Is it more of a formal role that would stand?
Yeah, in other words, you're agreeing that in theory we could have been mechalik between these questions. I'm going to ask, since you said that, it's my right to ask you why. Right? But before we even get to the why, meaning in what are the like bigger issues that we're talking about? I mean, everybody agrees that there's a lechatchila amida of baledinim, a lechatchila amida of edim, and the Chatchila Yeshiva of Dayan. That comes clear from this Gemara and from a few others, although there's some other cases in Shas that might be a little bit of a problem. Okay, so let's assume that for the moment. And I'm asking you, I say, is it obvious that these three are the same? Right? Or could you be Michalik? And how would you break up the Chilukim? And I'm going to ask you that in just one second. But before I do, since we're, we like the abstract, but we also want to bring it to the concrete, right? So with regard to what are we looking for? What kind of questions are we interested in where there might be a chiluk, or where the chiluk would be expressed if there is a chiluk to be made?
I guess there's an issue. One is the practical issue of misaf man tamatei.
Say again?
One is the practical issue of if it's misaf man tamatei.
You're already ahead of me. You're already explaining why it might be different. You're 100% right. But before we get to it, how would it express itself? What is the kind of legal issues that we're going to test this out on, or look to think, at least anticipate testing it out on?
Like in which situation?
No. I mean, you're about to start explaining, and I'm going to get you back to that in a second, why it might be different. Okay, but where would you expect that these differences would be expressed? In which laws? How would you test it out, the difference? Or what would you be interested if you had your druthers and you had your wish list that, you know, I want to find out a few things about these issues and see if they're parallel or not. Simple, basic. It's not that you don't know it, because you're just ahead of what I'm asking. You're thinking that's all elemental, so like why bother mentioning it? What are we interested in? If I just said to you there's a din of Amidas Balei Dinim, Amidas Edim, and Yeshivas Hadayon, what's the first thing we want to know? Okay, meaning we want to know, is this Doraisa or Drabanan? Correct? What, more than Doraisa or Drabanan? Equally, we want to know, is it Ma'akev, or is it L'chatchila? Right? Those are the questions that we're kind of asking. Another question?
Can you be Machsher in one case if it's the Riaz of the line about the ability of the Baleidin, of the Dayanim to be Machsher, the...
Say better. You're right, but just say it a little bit. So number one, Daraisa Drabanan, L'chatchila B'diavet.
One part, there's a hierarchy to these...
Yeah, but how would it...
Are there exceptions?
Are there exceptions like...
Kvot
Talmud Chacham, exactly. Is Kvot Talmud Chacham going to be an exception that is accepted in equally in all of these, right? Or are we going to distinguish between them? Correct? That's, I think, what you were getting at, but you have to...
Not Talmud Chacham. Oh, no, I was...
Okay. If not Kvot Talmud Chacham, another possibility, and that would be the question of Bizman Azeh. Right, the Rambam introduced like a very fascinating comment, you know, where he, you know, came up, what he meant by it, what he, you know, it's just a stunning comment, right? We just don't know what it means practically. So, namely, that the dinim of the Gemara, what's the stunning comment, Natan? We no longer have the, you know, or we no longer demand these postures, we'll say. Okay, that per se is fascinating, because, like, why? Why not? But even more, because why?
Because of the word
shashek. He didn't say shashek. What did he say? To avoid machlokes? Yeah, she'ein lanu koach. Lahamid mishmetei adas al tilam. Now, where did the machlokas thing come from? Some of the mafarshim interpret the Rambam like, oh, you know, times are tough. Let's try to avoid machlokas. This is something that exacerbates. Let's drop it. Yeah.
The Rambam says potato salad machlokas.
Yeah, but he does. He says, what does he mean by that? Right. Does he mean machlokas in the halacha, or machlokas between the people? Yeah, presumably.
Anti-facto or post?
So we'll see. So this is a very shock. So again, what we're interested in knowing is Doraisa Drabanan, L'chatchila B'diavad, right? The Ptur of Talmud Chacham, or the exception of Talmud Chacham, 3. And what about Bizman Azeh, 4? Okay, there are probably other things. Another interesting question we're interested in, 4, those so far. 5, when we speak about Amida and Yeshiva, right, what about things that are both or neither? Okay, what are things that are both or neither? 2 examples? Smicha?
Smicha.
Smicha, right, not the rabbinic kind, but the leaning kind, right? Let's say you're you know, leaning against something. Is that Amida for the purposes of Edim and Balei Dvarim? And is that a problem for Dayanim? Okay, who discusses that? Let's just, you know, again, anticipate, and then we'll break it all down. Who discusses that? Well, the Ramah brings it up. Right, the Shulchan Aruch actually speaks about it in Simen Chav Ches regarding Yeshiva, but doesn't speak about it in Simen Yud Zayin regarding Balei Din and Edim Amida, right? But the Ramah does. And it has its roots in a tshuva of the Rivash, right? And there's a big controversy. What did that tshuva of the Rivash really say? And what is really, you know, going on and happening, you know, with that Rama? We have to look at the, you know, famous argument. Again, the Bach, the Sma, right? The Gra, and the Taz, by the way. Did I put the Taz on the original list? If not, I should. I should have. The Taz in Chosha Mishpat, you know, takes on his father-in-law, right? Not the first time, but like, you know, he said, I told the father-in-law, and then he said, you know, he changed his mind, and he thought he was making a tikkun. His tikkun's no tikkun. Pretty harsh words, right? Amita shel Torah, right? It was a... anyways, the Taz turns his back on this Rama. He says the Rama is absolutely incorrect, and the Bach was incorrect, and everybody misunderstood the sugyas. It's a very interesting question. Anyway, right. Okay. So the question of whether or not the Amida that we require, let's say, or the yeshiva that we require, right, what happens to in-between things like smicha, leaning, right?
And the shoe tying.
Or what's shoe tying, which we call, what do we call that? Shchia, right? Shchia with a shin.
What that, meaning? What does that mean, literally?
Shchia?
Yeah.
Who knows what shchia means? Yeah, it means bending down. You know, like the guy's...
Like genuflecting
or something? No, he's you know... Again, if I lean on something, am I standing or am I sitting? And if I'm, like, bending down, you know, and I'm not really standing, you know, am I... You know, but I'm not sitting. I'm standing up, and I'm bending down to tie my shoes, right? So is that considered standing? It's not an upright posture, right. Correct? So, you know, it's not how the Rabbeinu Shalom created the Ruach Memalala, you know, to walk the earth. You know, when he said, you know, Vikim Shua. But it's not sitting, right? Should we assume that all in-between postures are the same? Should we assume that what's true for Shchia is true for Amida? I'm sorry, it's true for Smicha. That's kind of what the Taz says, that, you know, that the Bach, you know, read the Rivash is saying, and so on. And he said, no, the Rivash didn't say that at all. If you look really, really carefully at the words that he wrote, he drew a Kal V'chomer from one to the other. He didn't equate the two. So anyway, this is a very interesting issue in its own right. In all Kol Torah Kula, like where you need Amida and you need Yeshiva, like, you know, what is the status of the in-betweens? It's always an interesting, fun thing to look at, right? What about Shechia and what about Smicha? But regarding getting back to Ezra for the moment, right? So with regard to the three dinim that we have in our Gemara, which we want to move through as quickly as we can, namely Amida Babale Dinim, Amida Be'edim, and Yeshiva Bedayanim, right? So we have these interesting questions to wonder about, namely L'chatchila B'di'eved, Doraisa D'Rabbanan. What about Kvod Talmud Chacham? Right, another thing to throw in, but this is more of a detail. What about Eishas Chaver? Right, what about Eishas Chaver Achar Misas Chaver? Okay, just to complicate, but that's, you know, the same, you know, that's under the same rubric, you know, just that those details, interesting to note also, right? And what about Bizman Azeh? Right, the Rambam issue, and what about the in between statuses of Amida and Yeshiva? Do we have to necessarily say the same thing in theory about, you know, the two Amidas, right? Amidas Bali Dinim and Amidas Ha'edim. And what about, of course, the Yeshiva part? Another question to ask would be, is there any relationship between the Amidas and the Yeshiva of the Dayanim? Right? Are these three halachos, and we might say hu adin, might or might not, in terms of the kind of halachos there are, is there also some sort of, is the difference in posture an important thing? Yeah, how did you get over there? Aren't you usually over there? Yeah, what do you want to ask?
Can they coexist?
Well, that's what I do.
Can they coexist?
Can which coexist?
The Amid and the Yeshiva.
In general, or are you talking about the Dayanim and the...
I'm saying that could be another question to ask.
Are the two Amidos and the Yeshiva connected. Is that what you're asking? That's what I meant just now.
I don't think so. I think I meant it could be a situation in which one person is standing and another person is sitting.
Say again?
It could be a situation in which one person is standing and another person is sitting.
Oh, you mean different Bali Dinim or different Adim?
Right.
Okay. That's good. That's something to ask as well. Though that already seems like a much more pragmatic question. That's where you get to something that Ezra mentioned, which we'll get to. You know, Misnatbin Tanasa de Baldina, which is a problem for Baladinim and not for Aiden. Right? Okay. So let's just talk for a minute. Ooh, wow. Okay. I don't think I said anything yet, but okay, yeah.
A separate question. Just does the yeshiva of the Dayanim affect the Amida of the Baladinim, or not just does one Baladin and another Baladin affect each other?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Right.
I think.
Meaning, are they all related in that?
Right. In other words, does it matter? Is there a halacha that. What? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Is it relative?
Right. Is it a relative halacha or an absolute halacha?
Right.
Do we only care independently about the Amida of the Bali Dinim and the Eidim and the Yeshiva of the Dayanim? And even if there is a link between them, in other words, there's still different questions, and therefore, you know, the relative to each other point is irrelevant? Or is part of the halacha here, you know, that there be an Amida, you know, in the presence of a yeshiva? Right? That's correct. That's what I meant, which is different than what you meant. You meant within the groups, the Bali Dinim and the Adim. Right, I understand. Yeah.
Well, it's just like the more you think that each person has their own unique role in the process, and then
yeah.
You can say like when people are involved and they have like a halos, they're part of actually the process. Now they have to activate either sitting or standing. But let's say when the Adim were testifying, the Adim could be on the sidelines. Theoretically, they might not necessarily have to stand. So
I mean, is it all at the same time?
Yeah.
So the timing question is also a question which we'll get to in a second. What about Kabbalah Seidus? What about Gemar Din? You know, what about, you know, the Maso Matan? 100%. Okay, good. So, Ezra, what did you mean when you said that we might be mechalek? Okay. So you started saying, what are good reasons to be mechalek? You know, you could say it in a broad way. Well, you already mentioned one thing, which I think is correct, and that is that when it comes to the Bali Dinim, there is a question of intimidation, right? Mistatmin Tanase. So the question of distinguishing there has to take that into consideration, right? Mishpat Tzedek, and part of that is, you know, equal treatment. A, equal treatment. B, treatment that is conducive to making each party confident, right, to share their real views. That challenge, right, is something which is understood, you know, about Bali Dinim, which doesn't really apply, let's say, to Aden, correct? And it's interesting that the Rambam, when he deals with, you know, these halachos, Perek Kaf Aleph, what's Perek Kaf Aleph of the Sanhedrin?
B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha.
B'tzedek Tishpat Amisecha. And it all starts about this question of not intimidating, equal treatment. Where does the Shulchan Aruch deal with it? Simin Yud Zayin, right? Simin Chav Kes for the Dayanim, but Simin Yud Zayin for the Bali Dinim and the Eidim. Again, the same context. B'tzedek, tishbot amisecha. The question is, you know, that's the beginning of the halacha, meaning you can't have, you know, he can't have torn clothes and he can't have, you know, tailored, you know, wardrobe. And, you know, you can't, you know, be fawning over Reuven and kind of, you know, cold and distant, you know, and uncaring, you know, about Shimon. And you can't, you know, hear one taina not in the presence of the other. You can't say to him, can you speed things up a little bit? You know, we have to make early mincha. And, you know, the other guy, you know, please, you know, take all the time that you want. You can't do that, right? So those halachos clearly aren't formalistic halachos. They're halachos that are about creating that climate of actual and perceived. This is very important, right? The actual, of course, equality, so that people really are able to present their positions, but also perceived, because in Beis Din, we also really care that the Bali Dinim should feel that they got an equal treatment, and that the public should have confidence that the Dayanim are treating them in that fashion, Right? That's a very important factor as well. So when it comes to the Rambam, the context of the Rambam, and in our Gemara it's connected as well, and in the Shulchan Aruch, really starts off, you know, in this way. The question is, once it then gets into the details of the lechatchila of Amida versus Yeshiva, it's not clear that that has anything to do. I mean, the idea that there can't be an imbalance, that's one halacha, and that has nothing to do with Aiden. It has nothing to do with the parallel of Dayanim. Is this just, but once we're involved in this kind of, in the posture topic for that reason, so then when we say there's a lechatchila of Amidas Habalei Dinim, right? It continues with that, and then Agav, we talk about other things, right? So somehow it's better, we feel that, you know, if they're both standing, that's also conducive, more conducive, and so on. Or no, that's a transition. Till now, we've been talking about posture for, you know, for discrimination and climate and, you know, substantive and perceived, you know, inequality or equality, say positively, and now we're switching to another point, which is a more legal, formal requirement of the posture, nothing to do with Nistatmin Tanaseim, right? And therefore, maybe it's closer to Balei Dvarim, Balei Edim, or the Yeshiva of Dayanim, correct? What other distinction would you, on a formal level, would you think that there would be a difference between Balei Dinim and Edim or not?
Maybe for Dayan, you could say that Dayan have a more formal role in a way that they're professionally judges. So.
Right. It goes to the topics that we started the year with, in other words. And that is, you know, if we have three forces in the system. We have Balei Dinim and Edim and Dayan. On the one hand, the whole din is about the Balei Dinim, right? It's their din Torah. They're the Mechayev. They trigger this whole thing. And there are certain formal dinim of Balei Din, definitely in Dinei Nefashos, we'll get to this in just a second, you know, possibly also in Dinei Mamonis. On the other hand, they're not functionaries of the court. When it comes to that, there's a that sounds a lot more likely or legitimate when it comes to Edim, and even more so Dayanim, right? And the formal dinim of Dayanim and Edim, Kashrus and Paslus and, you know, Batla Mitzasa, Batla Kulav, Edus, and all sorts of dinim when it comes to Dayanim, you know, those are much more robust, you know, if we're talking about building a case, you know, for formalism as opposed to Balei Dinim. So on the one hand, it's all about the Balei Dinim, and on the other hand, you know, the Balei Dinim, you know, role in the process is maybe less significant. So there are good reasons. On the one hand, you have the, you know, climate issue, and on the other hand, you have these other factors to be mechalik. And yet, we'll see that the, you know, strong majority view, it could be despite these truisms, is that, you know, we treat these topics in a similar vein with regard to a lot of these questions, but I think there's room to at least raise questions whether you have to take that view in light of what we're saying, right? So we'll see what comes from where, which dinim come from where, and whether or not they're exported is something to look at, even if we're... The majority view, default view almost of the poskim, is that in a lot of these issues, whatever you say about one, you're going to say about the other. Sometimes we find, we talked about this right before this year, calls from this... bring to my attention the language of the Rajba. Sometimes we find the language Hu Hadin. Sometimes we find the language Kol Shekein. In other cases, Kol Shekein implies a hierarchy, obviously. Hu Hadin implies an equation. In some cases, it's just not so obvious that everybody's going to go along with the fact that that it's identical. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So another part of this goes to the question of what is the nature of posture in Beis Din to begin with, and then it breaks down in the way that we're talking about. Meaning, is this about you know, Sheker and MS. Like, again, it's also about a climate of, you know, truth and falsehood. You know, or, you know, knowing the stakes, at least, of what's going on. Just like I mentioned this the other day, just like the Iyumim, which are far greater in Nefashos, obviously, than they are in Mammonis. But in Mammon also, right, a din Torah is a serious thing. And being in the presence of Dayanim is a very serious thing. So it could be that the Ema part is about, has a pragmatic element, meaning it's something that is about the climate of truth-telling and being careful and searching your words and searching your memories. It's not just, you know, crude lying that should be precluded, but, you know, going the extra, having motivation, you know, and a climate that, you know, that produces, let's say, a maximal effort, you know, to be clear and to be accurate and so on. That's one possibility. It could be that there's something else going on, and that is that din, and being in the presence of Dayanim, is a religious experience. And that the, you know, it's a Mokom Ashkina, as I mentioned the other day, and being in the presence of Dayanim is being kind of Lifnei Hashem. That is particularly implied by which Shita, by the way, if you've seen it already? And then there's a huge controversy how to interpret it, but which of the Rishonim? Earlier, with the Mordechai quotes. What is the Mordechai quote? Which is the way that some people explain the difference between Bizman HaZen and earlier. Yeah, that there's a difference between Dayanim Smuchim, right, and Hedyotos. And that it's because of the din of Lifnei Hashem. So, again, the question is, how do we mean that even Ikuva? Which is the view of the Levush, and which I brought here, actually, and if we get to it today, and the Bach. Or is that also only Lakatkila? But again, that has nothing to do with Emes and Sheker, the Emes Hadin. That has to do with being, you know, in a certain presence and acknowledging that. But again, is that something, just like Emes Hadin, is that something separate? Or is that also about the idea that this is kind of a Davar Shebekdusha, in other words, Edus, you know, the Tain of Abab Davar, maybe even Yeshiva Sadayanim, it's Avodas Hashem, in a way. Let's not forget in that, in addition to the phrase, Yo'amdu Shnei Anashim Asher Lahem Ariv Lifnei Hashem, which is important, right? In addition to that, there's a very remarkable Gemara, where? Geshen David? Oh, we'll get to that in a second. That's also remarkable, that's true. But I meant in Zvachim. Yeah, which says what? It compares Yeshivas Edim to what? To Yeshiva of Avodas HaKarbonos. Meaning if the Kohen Gadol has to be Lamod L'Shares, right? And the Gemara seems to be saying that the Gemara there is talking about proving, right, different Psule Avoda. Right, you know, how do you know them? What are the makar? So they want to suggest that the requirement of Amida in Avodas HaKarbonos, Lamod L'Shares, they end up saying it's Lamod L'Shares, should be derived from the psul of Edim B'Yeshiva. That's a very remarkable suggestion. It also has deep implications for whether it's Ma'akev, whether it's Doraisa, but if you ask me, even beyond all of that, you know, what kind of comparison is that? And what does that tell you about how you're looking, you know, at the role of Edom in Bezdin? Right. At least as a Havamina. Right. The Gemara ends up having a separate Makar Lamud L'Shares and not relying on this. Interestingly, why, Gershon David? Because of the exception of Talmud Chacham, which they think. So the question is how to read that line in the Gemara. Okay. So this isn't the part about Bali Dinim, this is the part about Edim. If Edim are compared, at least initially, to Avodas HaKarbonos, does that imply that the Amida of Bali Dinim are as well? certainly be mechalek, you know, just like, you know, kohanim are, you know, a very specific group, mishar se Hashem, you know, maybe, you know, the status of Edom have, you know, requirements to begin with, right? Anashim velo benashim, berechokim velo bekrovim, b'ksherim velo bepsulim, right? At least there are standards there, as opposed to baledinim, who just need, just everybody is a baldavar. Right. So that's another example. Is the yeshiva of the Dayanim, you know, connected to that same Havamina? Yeah.
The Sefer Hinoch has a very explicit articulation of this. He says,
yeah. Which one?
Sefer Hinoch. Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph.
Reish Lamed Aleph. Which is what? What is Reish Lamed
Aleph? Gadol B'Din.
On this issue.
Yeah. So he says, Yadigin, it's not Amr Zakharim Labraka, so Yachad Yoshiv Yachad Omed, Ela Shneem Omedin.
Okay, very good. That's very good. Again, the Mordechai has that in the questions, you know, is that only Lefnei Svuchim, or is that even, you know, Bismaneinu? That's we'll get back to all these things. So just to sum up so far, now we're going to go into details. We have three dinim here. Three posture dinim, Amida, Amida, and a yeshiva, right? There are a number of questions that we're interested in finding out. Daraisa Drabanan Lechatkila B'diavad, you know, Ptur Kavod, or exception of Kavod Talmud Chacham, Bizman Hazeh because of Machlokes, Bizman Hazeh because of lack of Smuchim, right? Does this matter? The Gemara in Zvachim makes a fascinating comparison, you know, with Avodas HaKarbanos regarding Edim, right? What does that imply for any of this stuff? And does it apply also to Balei Dinim, right? The Lifnei Hashem of the, again, the Dea and the Mordechai is also fascinating, and now we have very interesting Chinuch as well. Would you distinguish between Balei Dinim, Edim, Dayanim in all of this, or not? Okay, so now that we had that, now we know what we're looking for. Yeah.
So Rabbi, I think that Rabbi said by Betzalik Tishbo, that there's two aspects of there's the actual equality and the perceived equality. In general.
Yeah.
But in the Bryce by Betzalik Tishbo, it says, you know, we have to be equal in these two ways. Rashi, you know, chimes in and says, and it's not because there's an issue with Nisatnu. But that doesn't actually appear in the Brice itself. So it could be that the Tzadik Tishbot is really more about actual equality and is not, and perceived equality is not necessarily understood.
So hold off on that for a moment. Again, I'll give you another example of it, but we'll see in the sugya as we read it, we'll see whether that's the case or not. So just if I don't answer it then, after we go through the Shakamataria, then they raise it again. I'll just give you one example because we were talking about it the other day, as it happens some of us, and that is. In Zavlo, we were talking about it a little bit in the beginning of third parak of Sanhedrin. So we have an institution called Zeh Baruch Lo Echad, which means that instead of a typical case of dayanim, which are memaneh, standing dayanim, three dayanim, let's say in a dini mamanis case, right? So you have this mechanism that Zeh Baruch Lo Echad, shneim borim od echad. And then there's a debate whether the shneim is, you know, the two borim or the shnei balei dinim. Right, that's called Zavla, and the Gemara has, right in the beginning there of the third parak, this line where they say that if you do this, then Yetze like Kadin Lamita. And there's a huge machlokas Rishonim there. What does that mean? Does that mean the perception, or does it mean the reality? And they're both very interesting shitos. Meaning the perception, meaning that it's not better, maybe it's equal, maybe it's even inferior to go the Zavla route. But it's certainly not objectively better. The only thing is, so what's so great about it? You know, mitok shezebar lechav, zebar lechad, yetze adin lamita. So one day in Rishonim is that the Baledinim are going to be happier because the perception from their point of view, at least, will be that like every opportunity for their position to be heard constructively, you know, was taken. And therefore, in terms of the shalom part of din, we talked about this a lot when we learned Sanhedrin a couple years ago, the shalom part of din is not a small thing either. even if objectively it's not better at all. Okay? The other perspective is, no, what the Gemara meant was that there are two types of objective decision-making mechanisms. One is based on pure consensus, mitchila v'ad sof. You have dayanim. They're objective. They're detached. Right? They're not connected to anybody. The three of them put their heads together, and they try to come up with... Again, they might argue. One might see one side, the other. But there's no structured-in mechanism of pitting. You know, there's no devil's advocacy, per se. It's just, the consensus of three dayanim, as opposed to the other methodology, which is, coming to consensus and decision, but by an adversarial, an initial adversarial breakdown of the case, initial advocacy. First you get, a dayan / lawyer for A, and then you have the dayan / lawyer for B, right? And again, so what the Rishonim say is chas v'shalom that people vote based on that, on who appointed them. But is it chas v'shalom that they should leave no stone unturned, even if they don't? Well, I mean, if they really don't believe it, they shouldn't say it. But obviously, pushing it in a way that they wouldn't if they didn't have a relationship with the previous Baldavar, is that legitimate? The answer is mitok, shezeh bar lechem, shezeh bar lechem. The adversarial approach, as long as it doesn't go too far in terms of the ethical question, right? As long as it remains possible, maybe plausible, but not compelling, right? But if you're pushing in that way, maybe that's a better way to produce, an objective, detached result. As long as the dayanim have the integrity to walk away from their advocacy at the right point in time. But you're supposed to get a maso matan that's different, than the consensus one. So again, is it about the perception or about the reality? That's what I mean by that point. And here also, the dayanim may know that they are objective and detached, and they may have even good reasons, for treating the bali dinim, unequally for some, one is particularly annoying, he'll take advantage, he'll exploit, in other words, the equality. But at the end of the day, how important is it, right, that the bali dinim feel that they had equal treatment, or that observers, who don't know the inside of the law, walk away with the impression that Beis Din, was... So we'll talk about it a little more. Okay. Yeah.
In general, shouldn't the Maso Matan always be like that? Like the dayanim try to see...
But not necessarily with assigned advocates.
But can't
right?
they take turns?
They can, but they don't have to. I'm saying that, it's an open question whether or not having three people, look at all sides of a question is more effective, or assigning people, to be the particular advocate of an individual is not. The role of the third dayan in Zavla is a fascinating question, which is a debate among the Rishonim, right? Again, if it's all about perception, then it doesn't even come up. If it really is that Zavla is a kind of again, it's related to our Antler issue too a little bit, because can you have a lawyer? In Zavla, maybe you have a dayan who's a lawyer, but only initially, and only ad kedei a certain. That's what the Rush felt, that people misunderstood Rashi, and they thought that Rashi was saying that you should, the dayan advocate should vote in a certain way, and he says, chas v'shalom, how can anybody think that that would be proper din? So of course, not to that extent, but it's certainly an open question. Which produces more of a, penetrating investigation of all the options. Okay, let's continue. So Ezra, read for us, now that we've kind of anticipated a lot. Where are we? Where do we leave off? Torabon, go ahead. Yeah. So that's the first thrust that we have here. V'amdu shnei anashim, mitzvah lebalidin shiamod. So of course the mitzvah part is fascinating too. There's a mitzvah in balidinim, right? I mean, just as a phrase, mitzvah, right? Lechatchila b'diavad doraisa d'rabbanan. Obviously, if it's a mitzvah doraisa, which is more exciting, so there's a mitzvah in din. Usually din is, you know, heksher and psul. It works, it doesn't work. It's required, it isn't required. It's a mitzvah. But din, even choshe mishpa din, can have mitzvahs, right? And especially if there's an element in all of this of, you know, amida lifnei hadayon, and you know, this is a process. It isn't just about efficiency, collecting, you know, collecting the, you know, the arguments and collecting, you know, the evidence, you know, and processing, you know, the arguments and the evidence. You know, it's a showcase, and it's a kiyum in Avodas Hashem, right? So mitzvah lebali dinim sheyamdu, just like there's a mitzvah sheyamdu in the, you know, in many mitzvos, b'shas habracha, b'shas ho'asiya, right? So there's a mitzvah of the bali din. Wow. Okay. What's that? Yeah, we're certainly talking about the pasuk v'am d'shnei anashim b'din, as we've already noted, definitely also relates to Eidin. Right? It also relates to both. I'm sorry. It definitely also relates to bali dinim. Question is, does it also relate to Eidin? But we say it relates to both. Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier that the mitzvah of the Eidim standing could be connected to the Kiyavodos Eidus.
Possibly.
So we also mentioned possibility.
I mentioned that for the Tashbates and for the Rambam and the Chinuch's language.
So we also mentioned possibility that the Bali Dinim would theoretically have a chiyuv to come to court, and that they have a possibility of getting out with mechila. So if you think they have a real chiyuv to come, then part of that could be...
Yeah, 100%. That, this is all connected to those things that I mentioned. 100%. Thanks. I mean, the word, the pshat of the pasuk, the amdu shnei anashim asher lahem ariv lifnei Hashem, is definitely talking about bali dinim, and Chazal say that we know that from the psul isha leidus, that it's also talking about edim. I'm not sure what point are you trying to make. You are arguing with the Gemara about the pasuk. I'm a liberal guy, but you know. This is, you know, the Talmud. Do you want to say the Rishonim disagrees, or?
Saying the pasuk in the Gemara that they're interpreting the pasuk itself as a spring.
What only? Not necessarily only.
He's the pasuk in the Gemara.
Also, I mean, this right now the Gemara is saying that it refers to bali dinim, right? The umdushnei anashim mitzvah la bali dinim shamod. I don't understand the problem. No, I think what the reason for the... Okay, I see. That bothers you? I mean, earlier we said... Pshuto shel mikra is the other way. But what Rashi means is that the idea that since this pasuk is also, according to Chazal, according to the Masorah, this is all talking about Edim. So the idea that there's a certain posture for Edim is easier to swallow. But Bali Dinim also have a special posture that they're supposed to have. Yeah, also, that's what he means, I think, by the Nami. Otherwise, it's a good point. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda. So the mitzvah of bali dinim shamodu would be in everything, right? That's so far. I'm Rav Yehuda.
I'm Rav Yehuda.
He's disagreeing, right? There can be yeshivas habali dinim, right? As long as there's no violation of the equality rule. Go ahead. So now you'd think that it's not a din in, it's not an intrinsic din in the chalos bali dinim or anything like that. It just has to do with betzedek tishpon amisecha, with the equality rule, right? Perceived or substantive, correct? So far. Tan Rabbanan. Yeah, Dover Acher. Yeah, we'll have to talk about this just for a couple of minutes. Or we'll save it for Monday. But you know, what are the limits of being Havidanis Chavercha Lekaf Schutz? Rabbeinu Yonah and Rambam in Avos and some of the Rishonim here. But we'll just leave that for the moment. We'll get back to it. Tanu Rav Yosef. Im sheitcha b'tor b'mitzvos. Yeah. Okay, what does that mean? Right. Havale Dina Kame, Rav Nachman, okay. Yeah, go ahead. You don't have a Gemara there? Oh, okay. It's okay. It's fine. I figure, like, you know, the Gemara and the Rambam, everybody has to have. Shalach Lei.
And the Rambam.
And?
And the Rambam.
That's the Gemara and the Rambam. Shalach Lei Rav Yosef. I can either way. It doesn't make a difference. Go ahead. It's Dvarim Shebal Peh, right? Chavreinu. Amit Betoro B'mitzvah. He gave him a letter of recommendation, basically. Hu himlitz alav, as they say. Right? Right? He said, what are you sending this to me for? He was offended. Right? They want me to fall all over him and flatter him? What do you want me to do? Right?
Lemishra
B'tigre. We'll talk about that a little bit, very quickly. Again, I don't want to get too... I want to go through these things quickly because they're really interesting, but they're not the main topic. We have to get back to the main topics. Okay. Inami, L'shuda D'dayna, which we'll also talk about quickly. Okay, keep going. The Machlokas Rabbi, now gets interesting. The Machlokas Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. Go ahead. Right? Because that goes to your question from before. Even the Pasuk Bipshuto is really talking about Bali Dina more than Edim. But the idea that Amida is that there's a required posture is easier to understand, it sounds like the Gemara is saying, in Edim than it is in Bali Dina, right? Meaning, and this is important for our question, is it a Hua Din or is it a Kol Shekain? Right? It could be the Dinim are the same, although we're not sure about that. But even if the Dinim are the same, it doesn't mean that there isn't, you know, an acknowledgement that it's a lot easier to understand rigid posture requirements for one group than for the other, in either direction. But in this case, basically the Gemara is saying is, Edim Divrei HaKol Bamida, even if Balei Dinim are not, Nechsiv Amdu Shnei Anashim, even though, and again, in the Pshat, it might be the other way, correct? That would highlight it more. Okay, so this is a view of the Gemara, which you freeze frame it, would say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Mida, Be'edim, and not, right, Be'Balei Dinim. So it would be so unreasonable, just getting back to what Ezra said before, which I agree with, would it be so unreasonable based on the freeze framing of this line in the Gemara to say, okay, fine, we don't paskin this way, but Mida, you know, this line in the Gemara, Nishma, that these are two different Dinim, right? And that even if there is such a Din, right, maybe it plays itself differently. Maybe they're nafkamina, bizman azev, lechatchila b'dieved, daraisa drabbanan, a p'tur talmud chacham, all the things that we talked about, right? Because one is more about, you know, maybe one's more about kavod, and the other's more about, you know, how you're mishares in the bezdin. Maybe one is more about only mistatmin tanaseh. Maybe it's somehow better if shneim b'amida than even shneim b'yeshiva. And the other is more about, you know, lamod or lasharis, right? So I'm just saying this is an important line in the Gemara to consider. Then the Gemara goes on, and now in light of that, Amar Avuna. Nichsiv. Vayeshev Moshe Lishbot Asa'am. That's where he was a dayan, he was sitting. Vayamod Ha'am. Right? So, in light of this, now the question is good. So now the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees, right, that there is no discrepancy between Edom and Bali Dinim, and that you do require Bali Dinim, but only Bishas Gemar Din. And that the question I just raised a second ago. So you need it, or it's the same, right? I guess there are three possibilities, right? It's the same, identical in every way. It's Kol Shekain Edim, and more of a Chiddush for Bali Dinim, and maybe that's why it's also more limited. We'll get to that in just a second, to Gemar Din. Or maybe it's just completely different Din, completely. Right? One is based on one thing, and the other is based on the other. Right? It's hard to know, right? Hard to know. So what about the limiting this to Gemar Din? That's an interesting question. So there's a whole discussion again in the Shulchan Aruch poskim, the sma, and again in the tour also the, you know, the drisha, which is the sma, and then the achronim get involved in this whole thing. Are Edom, when do Edom have to stand? The whole time? Or only when they're giving their testimony? Do the Edom stand during the Gemar Din? During the Maso Matan? Are they even there? Well, if they're not there, then it's not an issue. Right? What's this idea? If the idea is that the, for example, the time of the Kabbalah Sages, which we're going to get to in just a second, is an issue in Bali Dinim, do the Edom stand when they're at the time of the Kabbalah Sages? It would seem so. Right? And yet not the Bali Dinim? Only Bishas Gemar Din? Or are we saying that the Edom also? This is the that this is what they start discussing. Because if you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that Kabbalah Seidus is Tchilas Adin. And, you know, in the question of, you know, ain't done in Balayla, there's a difference between Tchilas Adin and Sof Adin. So sometimes we consider that to be an important difference, and it seems like other times not. So, you know, when do Edom really stand, and why this difference between Bali Dinim and Edom? Okay, we'll get to it in just more in a second, one more minute. Okay, Lishnach Rita, go ahead. Machlokas. Oh, so that's already connecting. The first one has a different limud. That's, I guess, more of a reason to think that theirs are two different dinim, even though they're parallel. The second one is based on the same. Refers to Edim and Dayanim be'amida. If there still would be discrepancies, how would you explain that? Right? Okay. So let's leave Debisa Duravun out for a second because that's going to get to the problem of Yeshiva Sadayon. We'll stop here for 1 second. So now the question is, how do we paskin? Like Rabbi Yehuda or the Chacham? Ezra, how do we paskin? Seems like we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Riaz and Sanhedrin? Okay, we'll get back to that. We'll get to the Riaz and Sanhedrin in a minute. But the Rambam Paskins, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Rishonim Paskin, like? Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so that means that there is Amidas Balei Dinim, but unlike the Chachamim, who said it's throughout, right, it's only B'Shaz Gemar Din. So what we want to try to figure out is, like, what is practically, what is included in that, right? And again, why are we limiting it to that, right? If Edom have to, you know, stand more, so is it the same din? So part of the question is to figure out the connection to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Atosis, if you can read that quickly. We'll stop in another 5 minutes. Rafil Rabbi Yehuda. Have it? On Lamed Aleph, right? Lamed Aleph and the parallel Tosis and Sanhedrin. What's going on? What are they bothered by? Yeah, why did they say to Yanei HaMelech to Amod al Raglech? Right? He was a Baal Din. By the way, was he really a Baal Din? What happened in the case there? Who killed somebody? His Eved. Yeah, so we'll talk about, you have to talk about that for a second also, but not now. Maybe Sunday when we finish with this. His Eved killed somebody, therefore he's kind of the Baal Din in a certain way. Right, and they said to Shimon Shetach, said to him, Yanai, Amod al Raglecha. Them his famous words, right, you know? That was like a pivotal moment. Right? Yanai didn't like that so much. He said, Yanai, Amod al Raglecha. Right? You can almost like, you know, it's almost like you're there. You can almost witness what's going on there. And there was a gasp like in the, you know, the judge, you know, hit it on his gavel and said he's going to clear the audience if he hears that again. People are like, right, an intake of breath. He said, amod al raglech. Okay? Yeah, so what happened? So what's the problem with that? There are two problems. What are the two problems? What happened to the din of the Ptur Kavod, which we know of from where? Do we know that there's a Ptur Kavod? We know of it in Edim. Okay, that's the next, because we've read that Gemara already, we just haven't read it now. But right on Lamed Amud Beis, that there's a, that, you know, Hayasev, there's a Ptur Talmud Chacham in Edus. Should we assume that if it's true in Edus, then it's Huadin or Kol Shekein for Balei Dinim? It's a good bet. But in light of everything that we've been trying to sensitize, you know, everybody to here, which is, Lav Dafka, there might be distinctions in both directions, right? Okay, but that's certainly a very good question. That's question number one. What about the second question? Yeah, if you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, you only have to stand for the Gemar Din. Right? So keep going. Oh, wait a second. Did I get the wrong Tosas? Sorry. What? Oh, this is the other one. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. So it's the next Tosis. I made a mistake. Yeah? This is a different question. What does Amad mean? Right? When it's followed by a verb or not. Yeah, exactly. Huh? So either it's Asi the Lok Rabbi, either Shimon Shaf didn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Or he really had him stand, not for the Kabbalah Sedus, but for the Gemar Din. Okay, what does Tosa say in Sanhedrin? I'm sorry, you're not... No, they said that the Edim, for the Edim, the Kabbalah Sedus of the Edim is like Gemar Din. The Hadas Edim is like the Gemar Din. But we're talking about the Baldavar now, we're not talking about Edim. Right? We want to know for the Baldavar. Right. So go ahead. So what does it say in Sanhedrin? Oh, that's one answer. So two important different answers. Let's take one at a time. I guess we'll have to finish with this on Sunday. Let's take the Dina Nefashos for a moment. So what do you think about that?
It makes it seem like the reason for Amida is about Yom and making people are standing to be scared.
Maybe. That's one possibility. Or there are two dinim, or maybe it's just a more quantitative. No, it isn't. Put it this way. The what Tosa says, both things that Tosa say are not obvious. Correct? I mean, obviously Tosa's here in Shavuos was avoiding both of them. Oh, by the way, I shouldn't say it so clear. Is that a Din and Nefashos case or not?
Yeah, his Eved killed someone.
The Eved killed someone. But he didn't kill someone.
Okay.
Right? So that's one interesting issue. When you have a Shor HaNiskal, right, the Shor HaNiskal is treated like a Dina Nefashos case. Is an Eved Knani's murder also treated like a murder case?
In the Pasuk, the Gemara quotes that made Yana come in the first place is from...
Or is that because he was the Dine Mamanis Bal Davar, and therefore his monetary connection is what made him the Baal Davar. That's an interesting issue. So we'll talk about that very briefly on Sunday. But let's assume that Tosas is assuming that's another reason why you could have argued with Tosas. Put it that way. But let's say the Chiluk Din and Nefashos. So I'll just tell you the Tumim's comment very quickly. The Tumim in Chosha Mishpat says this distinction that Tosas makes about Din and Nefashos can only be a Din Drabanan. He says, because what's the makar for Amida? This is a good comment. Okay. And what's that pasuk talking about? Dine Mamanus. So the Tumim says, how can Tosa say that shiny Dine Nefashos if the makar is in Dine Mamanus? Right? Either the pasuk means something or it doesn't. Therefore, says the Tumim, it must be that this is a Din Drabanan. However, according to what Ezra said, and according to what I'm going to say, which is a little bit different, not necessarily, right? According to what you just said, what you might say is the din of Amdu Shnei Anashim is a din in some sort of, again, you know, kavod or ema, and that the makar is from the pasuk that applies even to Dini Mamanis, right? But the yesod is that you then apply it according to the integrity of its context and application, right? And if we know that dinim nefashos, right, the all those type of dinim, let's say, are expanded, they're intensified, so hu adin. What I would say is, even if it's not an ema halacha, let me say it this way. Let me invoke the Rav's idea, which I mentioned a lot when we learned in Sanhedrin. And that is as follows. Let's lift a little bit of background just for a second. And with this, we'll conclude for today. Oh, I'll mention something about Kabbalah Seder for a second, then we'll stop. In two more minutes, we'll be in. The Sugis and Sanhedrin have numerous discussions about the differences between Dini Mamanus and Dini Nefashos, correct? You know, Mabein. And we know, you know, what kind of rove do you need? Post-Kentchila, you know, you start, you know, who do you start with in the Dayanim? Third, the number of Dayanim in the case, you know, and cetera, Iyum, all sorts of differences. And yet, there are Rishonim who think that there are more differences. How come they're not on the list? A couple of years ago, we did Sanhedrin, and we talked about, you know, the status of Eni Odea. We tried to demonstrate that, according to the Rambam, Eni Odea for a Dayan and Dini Mamanis and Dini Nefashos are very different. One is Ke'isa, the other is Kalesa. How come it's not on the list? The Rajba asked that in Tshuva. How come it's not on the list if it's true? Right? And numerous other things as well. How come they're not on the list? You know, and you don't want to say, you know, Tani Vashir, you know. So, how do you answer that? The answer is, the list was never meant to be exhaustive. The list is meant to characterize the difference. And there are going to be other nafkamina too. So one is, the whole issue of Ema and so on, Ezra's idea, is going to express itself differently in Dini Nefashos and in Dini Mamanis. So you can have a makar from Dini Mamanis showing that Baal Davar, right, needs to, you know, part of the din is to express that for truth and falsehood purposes, for you know, the status of Bezdin purpose, whatever it is, and in Dini Nefashos, it's going to be more. I would take it a step further. And this is where I'm quoting the Rav now. The Rav thought, based on a lot of different evidence, that when it comes to the relationship between Dini Nefashos and Dini Mamanis, in Bezdin, that there's a fundamental difference. And that is that the different components of Din in Nefashos all relate, or almost all relate, to the particular Bali Dini. My expansion, I think, or explanation, but I think it's what he had in mind, but I'm not sure if he said this part of it. The very fact that the stakes involved and so on personalize, right, the entire process. So every Din Torah about Dini Nefashos is about this, the Chalos Bali, this Chalos Din, or Shame, Baal Davar, right, and the particular case is a particular case, mitchila v'yatso, the Kabbalah Seidus, the Masomatan, the Gemar Din. Dine Mamanis, on the other hand, a good chunk of it could be perceived, if not all of it, as a kind of Beis Medrash, you know, discussion or application with a bunch of Hechatimtzis. Or maybe only the Gemar Din is personalized, and maybe the rest of it is like a diun about facts, a diun about how the facts fit into the halakha, etc. So what you might then say, I'm applying it to this, what you might then say is that in Achanami, when it comes to dinei, the makar is dinei mamnes vam dushnei anashim bedin. And when it comes to vam dushnei anashim bedin, that's limited to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to Shatz Gemar Din, right? But in the Foshos, it will extend throughout because the chalos of shame baldavar, right, is expanded in Dina Nefashos for reasons that have to do with the nature and character of Dina Nefashos. And therefore, that as long as that status applies, the baldavar will have to stand. It's not going to be on the list of differences between Dina Mamanus and Dina Nefashos, and it's not going to trouble us that the makar here is Mamanus and yet it's expanded in Nefashos. Because it's just an application of that other, it's the shame baldavar, but what is the application of shame baldavar? Okay, so that's what I would say. And similar, I think you're saying something similar. You're saying on the ema level, I think, and I'm saying it even on the more formal level of status of baldavar. What about the Kabbalah Seidus question? A second point. So that might be also connected to something that we've discussed. And that is, what is the status of Kabbalah Seidus in a Din Torah, right? Generally. And is that part of, again, the chalos of Din or not? So we already discussed that Reb Sajigon, right, had this unbelievable chiddush, and that's his interpretation of the pasuk, right, that even Dinei Nefashos, which requires a Bezen Shelch of Gimel, can have a Kabbalah Seidus of Gimel. Wow. Okay. On the one hand, that distinguishes Kabbalah Seidus from Gemar Din, and maybe it says that Kabbalah Seidus is, you know, generic. Right? It also gives it a certain independence, ironically. If you disagree with Reb Sajigon on the detail, it doesn't mean, you know, that the discussion is closed. Right? We may think that the Kabbalah Seidus of Nefashos requires a Bezen Shel Nefashos, and we still might think that Kabbalah Seidus is a chalos Bifnei Atzma in the Din. And this is a very important question. Right? So, for example, Ein Mekablin Edim Shelo Bifnei Baldin. That's really Din in Gemar Din or Kabbalah Seidus? Well, number one, if that's a pragmatic halacha about, you know, kind of a hedge against people lying because the Baldin is standing there, you know, we're looking him in the eye, kind of a ha'aza issue, then, you know, it'll apply irrespective of what we say about all this. But if that is a formal requirement, and especially if it's ma'akev, a machlokas rishonim, so what's interesting is it really only, the Re Barzaloni in his Sefer Ashtaros has a shtar called Shtar Kabbalah Seidus. And there he argues that the din of Ein Mekablin Edus Shelo Bifnei Baldin is really a misnomer. It's really a din in Gemar Din, not in Kabbalah Seidus. In other words, there are a number of issues in which there is a debate about whether we treat Kabbalah Seidus as just a pragmatic, you know, a way of collecting the testimony, or it's really a critical moment in the Din. Could be, again, that is part of the debate here as well. Is the Din of Gemar Din to exclude Maso Matan or Kabbalah Seidus? Or to put it a little bit in the framework of what I just said a second ago, and with this we'll conclude, in Dine Mominus, right, maybe the Maso Matan is never personal. That's an abstract Beis Medrash question. But maybe the Kabbalah Seidus and the Gemar Din are the times where there's a shame baldavar. Okay, so let's stop here. Let's continue with the with this analysis, especially of Edim and Dayanim and the Doraisa Drabanan, Zvachim, Mordechai, all of that I want to try to finish you up with on Sunday, if possible.
It's much more than what he said.
You were here for that.
He says that.